Welcome to the Wake Up with Jesus and Coffee podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Forrester. Now let's chat. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. We've got a special topic for you guys today, one that's very much in the center of attention, especially in our pop culture world. And to join me in this conversation, I've got two of my wonderful best friends.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Grace.
So before we get started, just want to talk a little bit about our wonderful coffee that we're drinking today. Well, I'm drinking, but Anna is not.
Sorry, I'm not really a coffee. I like coffee ice cream, but I'm not really a coffee drinker.
It's a wonderful coffee from Bones Coffee, which is a great company that my husband and I, we love to get different coffees from, especially their seasonal brands and their different, types that they have as far as flavors. The coffee that I'm drinking today is a maple bacon flavor, which very much tastes like I'm eating at a Waffle House right now.
It definitely smells like syrup.
It's wonderful. The flavors in the, it's not too overpowering. That's what I really like about it. It's not overpowering. It's just, it's kind of staying there, but it's a little bit of a different flavor. Because this is a different podcast. So enough about Bones Coffee. We'll definitely talk about them more in other episodes. They're one of my favorite coffee companies. But let's get a little bit more into this episode. If you don't mind telling me, you know, a little bit about the Bachelorette franchise and why we're talking about it today as far as on a Bible podcast.
Well, I am the newest member of the Bachelorette Club. I started watching last Bachelor season, I guess.
Is it Colton?
Colton, yeah. That was when I started. Of course, it became a guilty pleasure because that's just what shows like that do. And so this season, there, I would assume in the past seasons, due to just the way the show is, that's not really much of a Christian spiritual-based thing. But Hannah Brown, which is the Bachelorette, has claimed to be a Christian and be a woman of faith. So there have been a lot of things that have come up this season having to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, The Bachelorette, the premise of it is not very Christian at all. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because you do have contestants on there, and then sometimes the leads who are, you know, men and women of faith. You know, Ben Higgins was one of them a few years back. He was the Bachelor. Well, he was a contestant first on The Bachelorette, and then he became the Bachelor. And he's pretty outspoken about his faith. And Sean Lowe, many seasons ago, was a show my age a little bit, back when I was in high school, he was actually the quote-unquote born-again bachelor. Like, he was the bachelor virgin born again before it was cool. And so it wasn't really talked about back then as much as it is now, which I think says a lot about our culture. So to give a little background for those who have no idea what we're talking about, again, Hannah Brown, she's the Bachelorette, and she has got one of her suitors, whose name is Luke. Both Luke and Hannah are born again, professed Christians. And so, as everyone knows, once you get into the process and you're down to usually the final three, this time final four, which was kind of a toss-up, you go into what's called the fantasy suites. And so a lot of contestants have said in the past, you know, some of them do, you know, do some things in the Bachelor, in the fantasy suite, and then some of them just say that they talk all night and, you know, there's no intimate, you know, details to be said. So it's kind of one of those, you know, did they or didn't they? And so before they even go into the fantasy suite, Hannah and Luke, Luke brings up the question of sex, and that's kind of where we lead into the podcast. Do you think we should probably maybe read some quotes?
Sure. Yep.
So I'm not going to go full on into the full scene because it was like this 11-minute long, like drawn out scene, but I did want to open with Luke's first line, especially with him wanting to talk about sex. So he opens up, you know, marriage is a huge deal. Marriage shouldn't be taken lightly and so forth. And then he goes, so let's talk about sex. Sex is a beautiful, incredible thing, but only when it's in the guidelines of marriage. The whole process, I've been studying Hebrews. And then he talks about how marriage is supposed to be honored and kept pure. And then he brings up this. He says, I know you're not a virgin, and you know I'm not. We've talked. I've been abstaining myself for 3 years, and regardless of what I've done in my past, I'm abstaining until marriage. And I'm confident that we are on the same page with our morals, and I just want to hear it from your mouth. And at this point, as a viewer, you're like, okay, I can kind of understand where he's coming from. But you can kind of see her face starting to turn. And then he goes further. He says, thinking about fantasy suites, I've heard people proclaim their faith and say stuff like, I'm excited for fantasy suites. I want to explore this relationship from a sexual level. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And to me, that's like, whoa, what? Excuse me? I don't believe that's something you should be doing. And I want to make sure that you're not going to be sexually intimate with the other relationships here. I totally have all the trust in the world for you, but I want to make sure that we're on the same page. If you told me you were having sex or had sex with one or multiple of these guys, I would want to be going home 100%. If it's not something you're going to be doing here or to continue, I don't want to continue my relationship, and I would want to move on. So, Anna and Grace, what are your initial thoughts, really, of the whole scene, just right off the bat?
Well, I would say that my opinion of the situation is based on my previously conceived feelings towards Luke, which is that he is crazy. The entire season, he pretty much is just saying exactly what he thinks Hannah wants him to say. She will say, I want you to do this, and he'll reword it and repeat it, and it drives me insane. So I feel like in this situation, he's saying all of this because he thinks Hannah feels that way, and so he wants to make her believe that he agrees with her, but it's coming off differently because she doesn't, or she doesn't agree with him, apparently. But so, like, when you said it, the words sound good.
Yeah.
But when he said it, the way he said it, the tone that he had, the look on his face, which I just don't care for, it didn't come off the same way.
Yeah.
It came off very looking down on the idea of her having done that. And, like, viewing her lesser.
Yeah. And I agree. And then also, I didn't go into the full-blown conversation, of course. But later on, you know, he basically views it as, like, a slip-up, too. And it says, well, if you had, like, one little slip-up, I guess I can understand that. But, you know, all four guys, you know. So, yeah, definitely. What he said at the beginning, I didn't really find fault in the words, but it was the tone. Anna, what did you think?
So I really think I had to go back and rewatch it because the first time, kind of like Grace said, I had like preconceived thoughts about, was a little iffy because it's, I think his heart's definitely in the right place, at least when he starts the conversation. But it kind of gets to a point. I think he was okay the way he brought it up, the way he started kind of gradually getting into
what he was, like, his point that he was wanting to get to. But when he finally got to the part where he said, you shouldn't be doing it, mm-hmm. that was, it made me really uncomfortable as a viewer.
Yeah.
Like, I fully believe that, like, she's given him the idea that they are on the same page morally and with their belief system. And so, yeah, I mean, of course they should talk about it and it's very important. But as soon as he hit that point, then I think she immediately flipped and it just mm-hmm. all went downhill.
Yeah, it was more of a lecture than a one-on-one, honest
yep.
discussion.
Yeah, and that's what I gathered, too. Definitely my problem was not with him wanting to talk about, you know, sex before marriage, especially since he's expected to get on, you know, one knee for this girl really in just a matter of days at this point. You know, because in reality, that is a topic that you talk about really early on. I know, especially in my marriage, you know, when we were dating, that was like week three material, because especially in the world that we're in, you know, you need to make sure that if you're going to be serious with someone or even in any kind of relationship dating wise, you've got to have that talk. You know, you need to make sure that you're on the same page, because if you feel strongly, you know, about waiting before marriage, but your partner doesn't, not going to end well.
Big problem.
It's a big problem.
Yeah. And they should have had that conversation earlier on, but she was just so busy being mad at him every week and then never yep. kicking yeah. him off the show that they just never got around to it.
And I will add to, I watched an interview with Ben Higgins. I think it was the Roses and Rosé.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. With Lauren Zima.
Yeah. 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 He was in an interview with, on that, I guess a week or so ago, and they were talking about this scene. It hadn't been, like, this episode wasn't out yet, but they were talking about it, kind of the sneak peeks we had gotten throughout the season. And his take on it was, that you should never, as a Christian, you should never, or well, as a believer of any faith, you should never push off your beliefs on someone else and hold them to the specific standard you believe is best, which, as soon as Luke came up and said, I want you to be on the same page with me and you shouldn't be doing this, I think that's kind of what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she claims to be a woman of faith, mm-hmm. so he should be able to hold her accountable. But he didn't exactly do it the right way.
No, and I think that was the issue, really the biggest issue, because the scriptures do say, you know, we'll go more into that, of course, in detail. But Christian to Christian, you know, we're supposed to hold each other accountable. You know, not to call each other necessarily out for things, you know, out of pride. Or just to say, hey, you're doing this wrong, but out of love. You know, and especially you want to keep the unity within the church, which we'll go more into detail. So really the biggest issue here is judgment. So I want to quote a scripture, if I can talk correctly today, that everyone quotes as far as, you know, only God can judge me, don't judge me, and a verse that's really taken out of context. So it's Matthew 7:1-5. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounced, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Again, this scripture is very misquoted as one of those, you know, don't judge me verses. But what it's saying is that we are called by the scriptures to judge other Christians in a loving biblical way. But in doing so, we shouldn't be so consumed with the specks in their eyes when we have huge planks in our eyes. And that's where I find a huge fault in Luke's argument, because time and time again through every episode of this season, we've seen so many huge logs in his eyes, and it's been brought to his attention. And instead of trying to do better or, you know, being sorry for the way he acted, it's almost like, you know, my sin isn't as big as your sin.
She's definitely in her comeback when she does have the chance to respond. She's not slow to point those out.
Not, and we'll go a little bit more into that when we talk about Hannah. But yeah, any thoughts about that scripture and how, you know, Luke handled that or didn't handle that as he should?
Well, people definitely love to use that verse as an excuse for their sin, the whole, well, Jesus still loves me, or I'm already forgiven, or I'm gonna sin anyways, so, you know, why do I really have to try that hard to fix it? But I don't think he definitely doesn't do a very good job of giving, I don't want to say criticism, but like, you know, a brotherly pointing out of something that she may not be aware of. And she doesn't do a very good job of accepting it. I've probably talked about this a little more in the Hannah section, but I've just noticed that she continuously says, I'm a strong, independent woman. I'm a strong, independent woman. I don't think I've ever heard her apologize for anything that she's done in the whole season. It's always the guys making the mistakes. And she just kind of hides behind that strong, independent woman thing so that she doesn't have to apologize for anything and she doesn't have to admit to mistakes because she's independent.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, kind of going off of that, again, scriptures say that we are called. It actually says that we are not to even judge the world. You know, that judgment is supposed to be left in the hands of God and God alone. But if you've got a Christian that is spoiling the whole bunch, as we say, you know, that needs to be taken accounted for in a biblical manner. And the Bible details that out. I won't go into the full verse, but there's an entire passage in Matthew 15 where it goes into the structure of church discipline, which I find a lot of churches don't do this. When it's plainly outlined and, you know, the first step is to, it says, if your brother has sinned against you, go to him privately. What Luke did was not private by any means. I mean, millions of people saw him call this girl out, you know, on her sexual immorality. And That's not right.
But did he ever have the opportunity to speak to her privately? I feel like they didn't get a lot of private moments, and he kind of had to say it at some point.
Well, I don't know. I guess he could have waited until they actually did go into the fantasy suite, because that personal time. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
and that's where I was kind of leading with that. You know, I don't want to, you know, encourage people who are not wed to spend the night with each other, you know, because temptations and everything. But at the same time, you can go in there and just talk. I mean,
and that's what she did with Tyler.
That's what she did with Tyler. I mean,
she clearly set boundaries there.
Yeah, she set boundaries. So she could have set boundaries with Luke. And it would have been better if he would have brought that up privately, where there wasn't, you know, tons of cameras and then millions of people at home.
She maybe would have responded better, too, probably. Yeah.
But I really do feel like a big chunk of the reason he said that was he, in his head, thought that she was going to agree and he was going to look really good on TV because he's the only one The others haven't said anything about being spiritual, so he's the only one that has that connection. Yeah. And you can kind of tell, because when he starts to backpedal on himself, like he says, if you were to have sex with one or more of these guys, I would want to leave. Mm-hmm. She immediately explains how that upsets her, and then he's like, oh, well, you know, if you did, it would be okay. We would work through it. And he just keeps saying what he thinks is going to make her happy in the moment. And, of course, it never does, because he's dumb.
Yeah, I definitely had an issue with the backpedaling, which to me, it brings up, you know, the ulterior motives, because any time that you are, you know, performing any kind of Christian, you know, discipline, you know, towards another Christian, the goal, you know, is to always unify the body of Christ and to make sure that, you know, he's uplifted. It's in a loving, gracious manner. And that should be your only motive. And if there's an ulterior motive, you know, that could be coming out of a place of pride, which Hannah also points out.
Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, you kind of start to see as he starts kind of prying and, like, wanting to, obviously he knows, I mean, she has relationships with other guys, and he wants her at the end of all of it. So, I mean, his personal desires are kind of getting interwoven in the process of him trying to, like, have this important conversation with her. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what starts leading downhill and gets her really riled up and upset.
Yeah, absolutely. In that moment, it seemed to me that he wasn't as concerned about her sin as he was, you know, making sure that she wasn't having sex, period, and that he basically just wanted her to be with him, mm-hmm. is the way
it came across. He didn't want her ruined for him.
For him.
Right.
Not for the unity of the body of Christ or for the betterment of her and her relationship with Christ, but for him.
Mm-hmm. So you can see when he does start going back, it's kind of like he's trying to save or salvage as much of it as he can. So maybe he's not going to get this clean girl, but he still wants her. He still wants to win her. Mm-hmm. So he's like, well, I'll still take you. I'll still take you. Which is kind of degrading when he's like, oh, I'll look past what you did for you.
We can work through it.
Work through it. Well, and it even shows in the preview him coming back next week. And he says something like, oh, you know, Hannah thought that I didn't want her anymore. And I'm like, how egotistical.
This is news to me. I did not watch the sneak peek.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Okay. So, oh, yeah, great. I'm glad.
I didn't really remember anything specific about what he says. I just went, oh, he's back. Oh, he won't leave.
Yeah, I went back and rewatched it. And it shows him in a car saying, oh, Hannah thought I didn't want her. You know, well, joke's on her.
So much fun.
Goodness me. I did have, kind of going off of that, I did have a verse I wanted to reference. 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 10. For even if I made you grieve with my letter, and so again, let me stop real quick before we go on. This is Paul talking to the church of Corinth. For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I did see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt godly grief, so you suffer no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas godly grief produces death.
Worldly grief.
Worldly grief produces death. Thoughts.
Okay, so what I'm getting from it is Paul is coming to his brothers and telling them they need to stop sinning. And coming from a loving place where he is concerned about their relationship with God, not because he wants to control everyone and because he feels better than them. Mm-hmm. No kind of pride there. It wasn't a big concern to him, I guess, if their feelings got hurt. I cannot relate because I'm always concerned that people's feelings are going to get hurt. So he's better than me in that area. But he came to them. He told them the truth. He knew it was what was best for them. He was like, if they get upset about it, then they're going to get upset about it. I'm sure it's going to bring some goodness in the end. But kind of the way Luke went about it, which was more of a worldly accusatory thing, that there's nothing good is going to come from that. She got mad and she feels like he was looking down on her, and she's just going to take that and she's going to harbor onto that because there was no really love or genuine concern coming from him. So she's never going to see that since it wasn't there. Usually in situations where I'm coming to you as a brother or sister in Christ, one day you'll realize that I was being a good friend. He was not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Anna, any thoughts?
I don't know. I'm kind of stuck thinking about the repentance part. Mm-hmm. You know, when Luke brings up this whole conversation, he talks about how, yes, he struggled with this sin in the past, but at one point he did turn to Jesus and repented from that sin specifically. I'm sure others too, but this is the one he highlights, and he tells Hannah, like, I've turned from that and I've committed to abstaining from sex until I'm married. And he recognizes that she struggled with the same thing, but I guess we'll talk about this more with Hannah, but the big difference I see is he repents from that sin, and so he's coming from it with that perspective, and she doesn't exactly have the same viewpoint.
Yep.
With the repentance portion. She kind of seems happy that she's just still hanging out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, conviction takes different time different people. True. And one of the things that bothers me about the way he came to her is, it's more likely that she's going to push further away from any conviction because now she feels like she has to save face and stand strong in what she said. And she's just going to feel so much like spite against him that that's going to get in the way of any clarity coming from the Spirit.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the big thing Paul wants us to take away is that sin, no matter what, if it's our own, if it's someone else's, that should grieve us. And pointing out someone's sin, you know, even if we are doing it in a loving way, that should hurt us. Mm-hmm. Like, it's icky. I mean, we should almost be like, God, do I have to do that?
They're not easy conversations to have ever.
So we should... You know, and he even says, you know, I regret that I made you grieve, you know, for a while, but the grieving, it pushed you towards repentance. So it was a good thing that it had to happen, but it's messy and it's can be painful on both sides, and it should be, because the fact is, and we'll go even more into this with Hannah, you know, sin is not something to be taken lightly. Lastly, to kind of close on the Luke situation, you know, we should always, as the Bible says, you know, love others because he first loved us, and our tone should always be that of loving, gracious, and we should give grace because grace was given to us. Any other last thoughts on Luke?
I'm just excited to see now what he says when he comes back. If he just makes it worse, I'm sure he's not going to make it any better. Because when he was getting in that car and he said, can I pray over you?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that real quick. I
felt like that was his last little try and grab to somehow impress her with his faith, but he was far gone. There was no coming back
from that. And I understand what that term means, but, you know, you pray over food. You pray over guidance for a situation. Do you pray over people? Is that something that's... I've never really heard that. Like I say, I pray for you, I'll pray with you, but like over you?
I've heard it in the context of like a group of people coming over one person because I guess they're physically standing over them. But I'm not sure about the wordage there.
But yeah, it just, that also kind of left me sour.
Well, but also since then, I think I maybe showed you this earlier, he came and like posted online. To all of this, I'm sure he's gotten a lot of not kind things said to him.
Like after the episode, or
after this aired, he went to I think Twitter, and made like a post talking about how his heart was in the right place. He wasn't trying to condemn Hannah or make her feel badly for anything, but he really came from it like he was looking at it in the perspective of this could be my future wife, mm-hmm. and I just want to make sure that like we are on the same page with our beliefs and this whole thing. So obviously like he went away from it not feeling well, and he admitted online, like where millions can see, that he said like, I know I didn't handle everything as I should have, which I hate. It hurts my heart. Because all I want to do at the end of the day is glorify the Father. And I don't know if he walked away and that was his takeaway, that, okay, I didn't handle things throughout the season as well as I could have. And I didn't glorify the Father as I thought I was prepared to. It makes me feel like his heart still was in the right place, but maybe just being on camera, his words and tone and everything kind of got mixed up a little bit.
And the situation, you know, it's, you're in front of cameras and millions of people at home are going to be watching you. So
there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
One thing I did notice just through the course of their relationship is, well, in this last episode, he did say at one point, I'm the spiritual leader in my household. But just throughout the season, it just constantly seems like Hannah is bickering at him and, like, nagging him. Not that she didn't have the right to. He was being ridiculous. But it was more like, again, the strong, independent woman thing. She was in charge. Yeah. And he would try to say something, whether it be a good thing to say or a bad thing to say, and then she would stand over him and get mad, and then he would back down. And that's not really the best dynamic.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to Hannah?
Thank you again for listening to this part of the podcast. Stay tuned for next episode when we dig deeper into Hannah's side of this interesting conversation. Until next time.